Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Happy Monday, Cleveland. It is a in the very first Browns post-football Monday, right? We're feeling good. It is following a Shedeur Sanders start. I think made a lot of us also feel good. And we're excited to talk about it. It's Jake Volnick with the guys here from 7 to 11. We have, for the first time, running the board for our show tonight, Gabe Kalura. I nailed that. We did good. I didn't mess that up. And you heard her on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Mackenzie Flume with us tonight as well. Listen, we had a lot of conversations on Thursday. We got into some heated battles on Thursday about some of you didn't like the way that I was talking about Shedeur, even though I am a high-ranking Shedeur fan. Not high-ranking, not in that way. I would consider myself among Shedeur fandom high-ranking, but not high-ranking any other way. But we were high on Shedeur, but I think we were looking at it from a logical standpoint. I told you guys, I expect him to struggle early against the first-team defense, his first time playing in an NFL game, and then to get better. Well, let me just say that even with high expectations for what Shedeur is going to be, thinking that it was obviously blasphemy that he was a fifth-round pick, I was absolutely blown away by what he was able to accomplish. Again, I don't think it was perfect. There's going to be things that we're going to talk about throughout this show that Shedeur did well, that Shedeur could have done better. But I was very impressed by what he was able to accomplish in the limited reps that he had throughout practice, throwing to legitimate wide receivers to step in against a first-team defense and put on the performance that he did. Yes, we were impressed. Also, I do have to admit a truth. I did not get to watch the game in real time. I had something I had to do on Friday. I was sitting there itching. I was listening to Andrew Siciliano and Nathan Zagura right here on the fan. You can listen to him every time the Browns play. Free Odyssey app with 100 miles to downtown Cleveland. Don't forget. Easy plug. Free plug. Free Odyssey app. But I was listening to him for a little bit, but then I had to go back and watch. Much to the dismay of my girlfriend when I was laying in bed at 2 in the morning watching Shedeur Sanders throw a football. Of like, why aren't you asleep? It's like, because I can't go to bed knowing that Shedeur played football and I didn't see every snap, okay? I can't do it right now. This is not an option. So, yes, 2 in the morning came and I was sitting there and I was, we were going through, we were watching. I was watching intently on Shedeur. I was writing down notes while I was watching. I was flipping back and forth on my phone between my notes app and having the video up and just being like, okay, let's note that down and right back to the game. And then we get on defense and I'd be like, okay, play over, let's fast forward 30 seconds through the Panthers offense and get to the start of the next play so I can just see it actually develop. We were watching it and post time and also a little bit sped up, okay? We were trying to get through it. But yes, 2 in the morning, sitting there watching. But I was impressed and not just impressed by, like I told you guys, the stat line can say one thing and the body of work could say another. I thought the stat line looked good and I thought the body of work also looked good. Beyond just, hey, Shedeur completed a bunch of passes and, you know, Shedeur put up a good stat line, threw for multiple touchdowns, set up 3 scoring drives. I thought it was beyond that. I thought it was a legitimate look at Shedeur, looking at pre-snap adjustments, actually staying calm in the pocket, and the overall body of work was just good. I think, though, like maybe from where a lot of people were standing on Shedeur Sanders to what reality is, there's definitely a gap there. Like, the Shedeur faithful came out in full swing, as I expected. We all knew this was going to happen. Right, I told you, if he played terrible, if he played great, there was going to be a vast amount of people reacting and confirming their biases. So that was the expectation, rightfully so. You should be excited about Shedeur Sanders. I am excited about Shedeur Sanders. I'm excited to see him play again on Saturday. I'm excited about the way he played on Friday. I'm amped up. I just think maybe we're going to take this and the reaction from it and reel it in maybe 10%, 15%, somewhere in that range. Like, Shedeur Sanders still isn't going to go out there and start week one. I think that's probably been made very clear at this point. Is it off the table? I guess not, but it's pretty close to off the table. Okay, Joe's getting all of the first team reps. They seem very content in starting Joe. And the joint practice on Wednesday told you that against the Panthers. A lot of reps there. I'm imagining the joint practices coming up this week on both Wednesday and Thursday against the Eagles will also speak to that same fact, that Joe's going to get a lot, if not all of the first team reps in those. But I think everything that we looked at from Shedeur of, hey, let's make sure he doesn't hold on to the ball too long. Let's make sure he's making his reads quickly. And like 80 to 85% of the plays that he went and dropped back on, I thought he looked great in doing that. Let's also not walk around and act like Shedeur played a perfect game either. I thought there were incredible things to build off of. I thought, again, from a body of work in your first NFL experience, it was solid. It was really good. It was something to be excited about. But we still saw shades of old Shedeur too. Like, we saw him spitting off of defensive ends when necessarily you probably didn't have to, right? Like we were just making defensive ends miss, which is great from the I'm a Browns fan perspective, I'm a Shedeur fan perspective, and I get to see him do incredible things. We were excited about that, but I also don't necessarily think the Browns were probably looking at that and just jumping up and down, being like, oh, look at Shedeur run back 25 yards and make three defensive ends miss before he actually decides to deliver a pass. I'm imagining that, you know, when they talk about sound quarterback play, those aren't the things that they have in mind. I like the athletic ability. I'm sure they did too. But I think that we heard Shedeur talk to Miles after, and he was like, would I have gotten you on those? And Miles was like, no, not going to happen. So yeah, that's probably the case for most starting defensive ends in the National Football League. Probably not making every single one of those guys miss. And I think Shedeur knows that. The Browns know that. And again, you take it as a learning experience and you take the positives away from it. And you're just okay with how the entire thing went down. There's plenty to work on, but also plenty there. But I guess where I want to take you guys is asking the question at 216-474-0092. How far does Friday push the Shedeur train? Because I think it should take you out of the idea that here's your fourth quarterback throwing to equipment managers and ball boys on the side, and he's not throwing to actual receivers. Like, if anything, the performance on Friday made it very clear that he is at least among the other quarterbacks, right? He is in the mix of everybody else. And the things that we were scared about of, you know, maybe Shedeur in the pre-snap and Shedeur not being able to get rid of the ball. Like, yeah, that might still be there, but he's clearly working through those things. And a lot of the work has improved on that since his time in Colorado. I thought that was evident. Like, he is not the exact same quarterback that when he walked into the building. He has been working. He has been improving, which probably throws your whole Brown setting up Shedeur for failure argument out the window, right? Like, they were clearly working on things with him that he then improved on. But I think that's the beauty of it, is this pushes him maybe not into immediately being ahead of Dylan Gabriel in the eyes of the Browns, but certainly pushes him into, well, if we're going to be giving Dylan these looks, maybe we should also be giving Shedeur these looks if he's going to play like that. Now, we also have to consider the fact that they have a one-day practice week that's not a joint practice. They practice today, and then they're going up against Philly after a day off, so we're not going to just be just having a ton of Browns content, a ton of Shedeur content to just be looking at. It's going to be him running against third-team defenses, second-team defenses, whatever it'll be against Philadelphia. So, sure, I think Saturday is going to be huge, and we're going to talk about that, but he's in the mix. It's pushed him into the conversation of, okay, you cannot ignore him anymore. You can't just put him off to the side and say that's a developmental quarterback who's not up to speed with everybody else and that the other quarterbacks are clearly ahead of. Yes, Joe has the edge. Kenny Pickett is still a veteran, but when I look at Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, I'm starting to think there's a lot more parity there than maybe the Browns are leading on of, we'll keep Shedeur in the background. And maybe working on things that he was doing poorly at that Dylan was ahead of him on. I think from a gamer standpoint of a guy that just goes out and performs, and from a armed talent, this guy can just make plays and make throws standpoint. Yeah, Shedeur is definitely on par, if what I assume is going to be farther ahead than Dylan Gabriel in that aspect. So you definitely have to put him into the mix. And again, I think that everything we look at and being impressed with him, I was truly impressed in the things that I thought were going to make him struggle. Against the first team defense, he did at times, but I thought what was going to make him struggle was the holding on to the ball, was the pass rush getting to him. And I think those are some of the things that he handled the best. And Nathan Zagura was on earlier today on Afternoon Drive, joining Nick and JP, and talked to that exact fact of how he worked in pre-snap and everything else.
There are two things that you're judging Shedeur Sanders on today. Pre-snap operation, post-snap. Pre-snap, I thought he was excellent. Guys were lined up in the right place. We didn't need to call any timeouts. He was getting to the line of play call out, getting to the line of scrimmage with plenty of times. He looked very comfortable with the timing and the rhythm of everything. Now, there were a couple of pre-snap penalties in the second half. That's when he got the third team offensive line in there, and clearly those guys were a little antsy.
So, again, like, yes, as the game went on, you run into some third team problems that you expect to run into with third team problems, but the way that Shedeur handled everything, it felt like, once again, the guy that we knew had as an elite trait, a skill of leadership, was out there displaying the key trait of leadership. He looked like Shedeur Sanders, and that was one of the most important things for me. Don't turn into the quarterback that people want you to be or the Browns necessarily want you to be, but be the quarterback that you are and allow them to adjust around that, but show what makes you you, and Shedeur did exactly that. So following a great play on Friday, he's going to have to follow it up. We'll talk about Saturday and what that's actually going to display. But I want to know how far it pushed for you. 216-474-0092. How far does Friday push the Shedeur train in the room of the Browns? Do you think that hands down makes him a backup quarterback and we can forget about Dylan Gabriel? I want to know what you guys think. You can also get to be on X at Volnick Jake. V-U-L-I-N-E-C. Jake's doing it to our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. We have the Station Buzz coming your way at 7:40. Of course, we're going to talk plenty of Browns here in the first couple of hours. Get a Grip comes your way, as it always does, at 9 o'clock. We're going to talk to Justin Latta of Locked On Guardians coming up at 9:20. Because, yes, Shedeur was great to watch. The Browns were fun to watch. We're glad football's back. The Guardians are also making a push of their own that we should probably pay a little bit of attention to as well. So we'll talk to Justin coming up at 9:20. We'll bring in Mackenzie Flume in the 10 o'clock hour for another edition of You Gotta Pick One. But right now, at 216-474-0092, how far does Friday push the Shedeur train? We'll get to your calls and more coming up from the game here in about 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys here until 11 on The Fan. Well, how far does Friday push the Shedeur train? And I mean inside of the Browns building. Yeah, I'm elated to watch what I saw out of Shedeur. Like, again, I need to tell you. And we can go out to X if you guys want confirmation where Taylor chimes in and says, I think you should probably consider yourself Grand Wizard level in Shedeur fandom. That's probably fair. We're on this train for quite a while, okay? There's the diehard just Shedeur fans that are definitely going to be above me. Again, Browns fan first, Shedeur fan after. I'm in rooting the best interest of the Cleveland Browns and then rooting the best interest of Shedeur Sanders. So there's people ahead, but we've been high on Shedeur for a while. So I obviously want to see him succeed, and I want to see him on the field for the Cleveland Browns. So I can take that away, and I'm going to be very excited about that. We're going to talk about the excitement behind that throughout the show today. I do also think, though, part of what gets lost is just the logic in it of in itself. Yes, we have to get through and actually balance this thing of how great Friday was, everything that we saw out of Shedeur, and then also put into perspective, this was just a preseason game. Because I think there's validity to both of those as long as you don't use them as a catch-all. It can't be, it's a preseason game, so none of this matters and you shouldn't take anything away from it. That's just downright stupid. This clearly matters for guys like Shedeur and matters in this quarterback battle, at least beyond Joe Flacco, at the very least. And yes, it is a preseason game. Just because you go out and you tear up second and third team defenses also doesn't make you a starting quarterback in the NFL. Both of those things are true. So we also have to do this sort of balancing act of taking away from it and seeing the positives and seeing that this probably should push Shedeur forward without just jumping to conclusions that, he went out there and absolutely tore up, a guy who might not make the roster from the Carolina Panthers. And that means that we should start him week one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
No, we have to put into perspective. So I think you have to walk a little bit of a tightrope to do so. Because I know just by saying that, there's people that are listening that are Shador fans that are going, listen to him, hating on Shador, can't stand it, doesn't want to see him succeed, he's buying into the Browns narrative. Like, no, I'm buying into the narrative that is preseason football and understanding what it is. I can look at the Browns unofficial depth chart that came out earlier today and still see Shador Sanders' name listed at fourth. Does that really mean anything? No. Does it still mean that they put him out there as the fourth quarterback in the room? Yes. Does it still mean that Dillon Gabriel was out taking snaps before him today in training camp? Yes, it does. But I think that it pushes you, again, more into the mix and into the conversation than anything. It takes away that throw Shador to the side conversation and brings it front-facing of, okay, no, he clearly shows he has the ability with more development to be an NFL quarterback, and he should get a shot this year. Like, I think to start, Browns fans would have lost their minds if Shador never saw the field at any point this year. You would have already lost your mind. After watching Shador on Friday, if he never saw the field this year, it would be a straight boycott and a riot on the Cleveland Browns. Like, there's just no way that you don't see him after going, no, I know what I saw with my own two eyes. Like, the first touchdown throw was absolutely unreal. Like, that is a guy at the very least that has that top-end upside ceiling we've been talking about. That is what we consider elite ball placement, elite layering of the football against the coverage. Going over what was, I don't remember if it was a linebacker or a corner, I don't remember who's there, but then under the safety that was then covering, I don't even remember who that was off to on the top of my head now. Who did he throw it to? Is it Davis? Yeah, it's Caden Davis, right? Caden Davis that he threw the touchdown to. Like, it was absolutely incredible. Like, that is a beautiful look at throwing the football of Shador and a look into what his arm talent can be. But yeah, I'm also coming away from this game, and I think one of the main focuses is, okay, that was great to see from Shador on Friday. It now turns into, all right, you want to make this a legitimate conversation. You want to make this into something real. Do it again on Saturday. I'm not saying it has to be as good as it was, because again, I think there was a lot of good things and you had three quarters of football to play off of, but show me it again on Saturday when you go up against the Eagles. Show me those same things. Like, if you came out and had a similar type of performance in whatever game time you're going to be allotted, if you came out and had that type of look and you passed the eye test in the same way, that conversation only progresses further and further. So it is a stepping stone, a building block for Shador. And it's a big one. Like, you take a massive step up with game one, but the only way you keep that going is by getting it onto game two. And if you get an opportunity to play in game three, which I'm sure you will, do it again in game three. Continue to show the development. And hey, I've been working on the things that you're telling me. I'm still going out there and I'm putting the ball and giving this team an opportunity to score. And that's going to continue to progress Shador Sanders further within the eyes of the Browns. But I think Saturday is going to be the biggest thing for him. Like, the almost, this was one preseason game, I think in a way holds more argument with the Browns than it does a large portion of the fan base. Because again, there's some of you who are just looking at going, don't look at that at all. Hey, one preseason games mean nothing, which the amount of Shador haters out there, the people who just, I mean, we got to let go a little bit. We got to just give a little bit away. Like, you can't just watch a guy tear it up and be like, that's a preseason game. Do you have no joy? You get no enjoyment from watching the Cleveland Browns succeed? Does that do absolutely nothing for you? Like, watching a kid that you drafted go out there and play quarterback well, it has to put a somewhat of a smile on your face knowing, hey, maybe that could be something. Even if it's not, I can go watch him play in the regular season at some point and hope that he does it again. Like, please, just, you know, rub the shoulders out, just move him around a little bit, loosen up, just release some of that tension. You can sit down and you can take a deep breath, okay? We can be excited about guys even if you don't think they're going to be the answer at quarterback. You can still try them because it, you know, answer at quarterback, probably aside from Shador, good chance he's not sitting in the room right now. So I don't get that side of it. But yeah, I think that when we talk about the, oh, well, it was one preseason game. Yeah, in a lot of ways. I mean, we've seen quarterback X, Y, and Z, who are never seen from again, play a good game of NFL football. I mean, we've seen Mike White tear up the NFL before. Do I think that Mike White is a star-level caliber quarterback? No, I don't. So there is validity in that. Like, we can't just throw that away as nothing. It was one game. It was three quarters of football that Shador played. But yeah, you have to have some give to it, too. You have to be able to take away something that was positive. So I think that as we walk the tightrope of it, it should be trying to get into a vision of what Shador can be and where he actually stands on the depth chart and where he stands in the room of the Browns. But this week is everything. As you go head-to-head with in what probably is going to be an evaluation, I have to imagine, if Kenny Pickett gets onto the field on Saturday, I'm honestly going to be surprised at this point because he didn't practice on a Monday. You weren't ready to go in anything beyond 7-on-7s. Maybe he gets ready. I don't know if that happens. I would feel like it's unlikely at this point. But, I mean, you still have 5 days under your belt to get it right. So I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and not rule you out yet. But I imagine the main thing going down here is going to be a battle of Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders in the eyes of the Browns. Okay, we saw Shador look good in a game. What is Shador bringing on Saturday? And what does Dylan Gabriel bring on Saturday? And what do we get to look at between those two guys? Because if Dylan Gabriel goes out there and looks like stank, and he goes out there and looks terrible, it's going to be really hard to continue to give me the conversation of, okay, if I've seen two good games out of Shador Sanders and Dylan Gabriel got hurt, which not your fault, but welcome to the National Football League. When you get hurt, sometimes you just lose your spot on the depth chart, especially while you're in a competition. That does just happen, i.e. Kenny Pickett. Look at him right now. Don't know that you're going to compete for the starting job at this point. But if I have two good games of Shador and one bad game of Dylan Gabriel, how much can we keep throwing out there over and over again? Well, Dylan's the quarterback that's in front. Dylan's the guy who you really want to give a chance. Okay, well, Shador capitalized on the moment that was presented to him twice. Dylan Gabriel went out there and bleeped down his leg. I'm going to be tempted to give it to the guy who actually came out and rose to the moment and performed. So I think that's when we start having the conversations where people want to say, well, they're holding Shador back and they're, you know, giving him an unfair chance to actually win over a job or move up this depth chart. That's where that conversation comes in. If we get to week three after that performance and it still feels like Shador is, you know, standing pat behind Dylan Gabriel, that's where I start hearing those conversations that I shut down over the last 2 weeks. But at this point, yes, I do lean into a little bit of be excited, but also understand that where the Browns are going to look at it is going to be that this isn't a change-all. And Shador talked about that when he was on the broadcast after the game. He was like, listen, I thought I did well, and there's things I didn't think I did well. I didn't do exactly what I wanted to do, and there's a lot of things to improve on. Like, he was not satisfied with his performance, despite everybody in the media and everybody with one pair of eyes, just looking at the game, was like, that was a good performance. Shador said, it wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to be better out there. One, good on you. I mean, that's just a little bit of being humble, a little bit of being mature, and clearly showing that we're not settling for a good performance, but that you want to put out great performances. I think that's a good sign from a guy who you want to be the franchise quarterback. I think that's a good start. But I think it also tells you that some of the things that Shador was working on, he notices and says, all right, well, what the Browns wanted me to do, I was not perfect at. Like, there were still parts of my game that he could feel that were not great. But, yeah, he's a rookie quarterback. There's going to be things that aren't great. There's going to be things that aren't perfect. And you're going to work through kinks. And whenever he steps onto the field, it's the same thing that I talked about going into this game. There's probably going to be struggles early on. I don't want to throw that away. There were struggles early on with Shador in this game. Like, as great as the overall performance was, when he was against the first team defense, it wasn't perfect. He didn't look incredible. Shaking off some rust, getting over the nerves, also, you know, having a couple of passes that he probably should have completed, that, you know, like a wide open running back in the flat that you just toss it over his head. Those are the type of things that, yeah, you have to complete those to be considered as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Those are the type of passes that you can't not make. So there were absolutely things he could have done better. I just think that those are the things, okay, if that's what persists, I'm all right with those. Like, I'm okay with you making the mistakes and not being perfect, but you're going to have to do that multiple times to prove yourself and to climb up in the step chart. But make no mistake, Shedeur Sanders has pushed himself to be the quarterback that will get an opportunity this season. And if I had to take a guess from what I've seen, should probably be the quarterback that gets the first opportunity this season, at least out of the rookies. He should be the guy that's out there probably before Dylan Gabriel. I'll withhold that as a stamp and a true judgment until by the very least Saturday, if I get to see Dylan Gabriel. But I think you've at least pushed yourself into being that, at least being the conversation, I should say. That should be the conversations that Shedeur probably is ahead of Dylan. And that with everything we have in our eyes, you can't treat it as if they're polar opposites A and B. Shador's there. He's in the mix and he should be getting the opportunity. 216-474-0092. How do you balance a great performance from Shedeur Sanders? And yes, it was one preseason game. Because on social media, I'm going to be honest, both sides were absolutely terrible at it. There was only two lines of thinking. And constantly, I feel like I'm in the middle of, I like Shedeur, but I also like logic. And I like coming from a reasonable standpoint on this. It was just Shador's great, Shador's the best, and he should be, you know, potentially going out there and getting the job week one. And it was a preseason game, pay no attention to it. Well, let's find the happy middle ground. Again, 216-474-0092. We'll get to your calls coming up here in about 5 minutes, as well as the station buzz on Overtime with Jake Volnick right here on The Fan. All right, without further ado, let's get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guests today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Station Buzz. All right, let's kick things off with our very own. Speaking of Daryl Ryder, we go to Daryl Ryder, who was on with Ken and Anthony this morning and giving his recap. How did Shedeur play and the rest of the quarterback room moving into this weekend?
I think he deserves a little longer look after that performance. I mean, if he's able to do that with as little opportunity as he's gotten to camp to date, I'm almost excited to see what he can do with even more opportunity. I think it's a huge week for Dylan Gabriel. He's got to get healthy. And then if he is able to be healthy, Dylan's got to show out this week, in my view, if he's healthy, especially Saturday in that preseason game against the Eagles. He's got to play just as well, if not better, in my view, than Shedeur.
So I like this spin from Daryl specifically because I feel like all of the pressure at this point has been on Shedeur. Well, you have to prove to people that you're taking the next step up and you're being better and you have to go out there and earn the reps, which, again, I believe to some degree is true, but I think Daryl's right. A lot of the pressure now flips off of Shedeur after Friday's performance and probably lands a lot more on Dylan Gabriel when we talk about the competition between the two rookies. I think it's all on Dylan. You have to get back to healthy, which he was today. He was out there taking team reps and from reports looked pretty good doing it and had one of his better days of camp. But it's beyond now just looking good in camp, because he could go and look good and be like, oh, well, him and Shedeur look good. I can at least make a case for Dylan Gabriel to be ahead of Shedeur Sanders right now. Right? If they're both looking good, then maybe we're not seeing something behind the scenes. There's a case to be made there. Well, when Shedeur starts playing well in games, and if Dylan's not playing well in games, like we talked about, that goes out the window a little bit. Some of that goes away. You start taking a look at, well, yes, it is preseason, but these are game moments. I care about practice. I don't care about practice that much, okay? I can go back to, we can call on Allen Iverson if we have to, okay? We're talking about practice compared to games that don't really matter, but kind of matter. Like, I need to see Dylan start to do that, and I think the pressure is on him big this week. Like, you're going to feel the weight on your shoulders in the same way that we saw, all right, well, this is the biggest moment that Shador is going to be put in. How does he rise to the occasion? And he answered it. Now it goes down to Dylan. This is going to be the most pressure-filled moment that you've had probably up to this point in your career. And yes, I do know he's playing for Big Ten title games and everything else. But this is probably the biggest pressure moment you have. This is, oh, I'm not just a clear-cut starter and I have to go out there and perform. It's, I'm fighting for, in some degree, my job right now. And where I stand in the eyes of my coaches, I have to go out there and perform. That's as high pressure as it gets. And we're going to see how Dylan responds to that pressure. He's done well so far with it in his career. Like, he was very successful at Oregon. Don't look at the Rose Bowl for right now. Well, if we talk about Ohio State, we can go look at the Rose Bowl. But not right now. Let's just turn that one to the side. But, like, in a lot of the moments that he faced as a college quarterback, he rose to big pressure moments and played well. I now need you to see you do it at the NFL level, and we can have legitimate conversations about these rookies again. But if you don't come up and do that, you're putting yourself on the back foot, and I think even the Browns would be hard-pressed to go through and try to ignore that. We listened to Nathan Zagura earlier on in the show. Let's hear from him again of the Browns Radio Network on today with Afternoon Drive. He talked about that pressure we were talking about with Shador and how he performed.
When you grow up the son of a famous person like Deion Sanders, and you know, everywhere you go, he's had a spotlight on him. You know, he's had a lot of big spotlights on him the last few years. You knew that the football world was watching. I mean, think about it. His performance in that game, good or bad, was going to be the lead story on every national football show.
Yeah, and it wasn't even going to be close. Like, we all knew, no, if it was good. Like, the only way you would avoid, let's talk a little bit about Shador to start it off, and I don't even know that you could have, would have been complete mediocrity. It would have just been, well, that was about as average of quarterback play as we could have gotten. It was all checkdowns, it was handoffs, and he looked okay, and he completed the easy passes. He didn't complete the hard ones. Maybe got into the end zone one time on like a wide open, just a little checkdown into the end zone. That was the only way that wasn't going to lead. And even then, I think somebody probably would have found a way, and most people would have found a way to be like, Shador Sanders, do we think good or bad? Like, it still would have led somehow. It's that same pressure. It's that same moment. But as much as I talked about, you know, Dylan Gabriel living up to that pressure, Shador's had more pressure on him than any other quarterback you could imagine. Yes, he's playing at Colorado and not Oregon. He's also Deion Sanders' kid. Like, we do have to realize that the eyes have been on him since he practically came out of the womb. Like, they were like, is this guy going to be a great football player? And everybody's paid attention. You paid attention to his entire college career going back to Jackson State. I guarantee that there's probably not one person that can call in without looking it up right now and tell me who the quarterback for Jackson State was last year. It's going to be a long stretch. You only knew it when it was Shador Sanders. So he's lived in those pressure moments. So it doesn't surprise me. That's the one thing that doesn't surprise me. I never doubted whether or not the pressure was going to get to Shador. I knew that wasn't going to be the case. That was never going to be a thing. Like, oh, you put him in a pressure-filled moment? Yeah, congratulations. Welcome to Friday. That's an average day of the week. It's a day that ends in the Y for Shador Sanders. But it was all the other things that we talked about, right? The procedurals, the actually getting the ball out of your hands, which, again, I thought he did really nice on. I thought he made big steps in improving. And those are the things that I look at Shador Sanders and say, all right, well, you lived up to the moment. But the pressure was never a question. If he was going to go out there and not live up to the big lights, well, going to get a lot more comments out of Deion and everybody else. We're going to be looking around going, what the hell happened out of the last 4 years that you were a college quarterback where everybody was staring at Colorado when you stepped in, could barely win a football game? Everybody was staring at you then. You only got a few more eyes now. I don't know how you didn't live up to the big moment, but of course he did. Tyvis Powell of the Browns Radio Network on today with Baskin and Phelps, and he talked about whether or not the quarterback battle for the Browns is fair.
Yeah, what I loved about him after the game when they asked him about it, you know, he said he was bummed out by his performance because he said it's still some incompletions on his resume that he didn't want. So it shows you that he is striving for greatness. I do want to see what the offense looks like with Kenny and with Dylan Gabriel, because it could look significantly different. I will say this, though. I thought about this earlier today. I believe in fair. I know that that doesn't exist, but in this, I want it to be kind of fair. Wouldn't it be fair if Dylan Gabriel had to go out there with the same team as Shador Sanders did and have to perform the same way?
I think that Tyvus is onto something here. Like, if you go out there and you tell me, all right, preseason game number two, we're going to give Dylan the start, which, honestly, if we're talking about expectations, what I expect to happen, I expect that to be the case for the Browns. I think that Dylan Gabriel probably would get the start on Saturday, assuming if Kenny Pickett isn't healthy and they don't want to give him reps against the Eagles, I think he'd get the start. But don't go out there and give him, oh, well, we'll let Jerry Jeudy get warmed up. You know what? Throw Cedric Tillman into the mix. Don't give me that. Don't go out there and say, you know what? Maybe DeJuan Jones does have to play left tackle today. I don't want to see the exact same team out there. When I'm throwing to Sal Canella and everybody else, and his top target being Caden Davis. That's what I want to see. Like, hey, because if not, yeah, we're still going to be able to make evaluations, and you're still going to see the things that make Dylan good or bad in that game. But I really don't want any of the cop-outs. Like, I don't want you to have more safety nets than Shador. And it's not in a rooting against Dylan Gabriel way. It's I'm trying to get a true evaluation way. Like, even if he's playing against the second-team defense, and I can compare, here's what Shador looked like against the Panthers' second-team defense, and here's what Dylan Gabriel looked against an Eagles' second-team defense that, yes, I will also understand is better than the Panthers' second-team defense. I will keep that in mind. But that's as fair gets. Like, I have to see what both guys have with similar weapons. Because if he goes out there and for some reason they decide Jerry Jeudy should play in this game, and Dylan looks great, but he's got, you know, six targets for five catches for 87 yards and a touchdown to Jerry Jeudy, I'm going to go, oh, who would have thought? The best wide receiver on the team really helped out and was open and helped make plays for the quarterback. I want to see what he does with Caden Davis. I want to see what he does with Gage LeVarden. I don't even know if I'm saying that right at this point. I don't know. Everyone's just referring to him at Gage at this point. I feel like that's maybe borderline a little disrespectful to a guy trying to make his name in the NFL. So at least try. At least try to say your name. I don't know if I got it right, though. All right, last one. Let's get to Scott Petrak of BrownZone.com. Also on with Baskin and Phelps today. You see Shador play. The question persists. Do you keep four quarterbacks going into the season?
Yeah, I'm starting to, well, I have started a while back thinking that that was the likely scenario. And I think the only way it doesn't happen is if they're completely comfortable with one of the rookies being number two week one. And I haven't seen enough personally from Dylan Gabriel to think he's ready. And that would have been the guy, right? And he was up first. They drafted him first, all those things. So can Shedeur Sanders be the number two week one? I don't know. I don't think they want to rush him. I think they're going to be really deliberate with this process, and I understand that. So, yeah, given that, I think they keep four because I assume they're keeping both rookies. And in order to have a veteran backup, you got to keep all four guys.
Would you put it past them to trade any one of the four?
And that would be the question that we want to bring up with Andy Baskin, right? Andy asked a good question because I think you would have to look at actually trading one of the four quarterbacks. Like, bringing four into the season, legitimately bringing them into week one, right? Not just taking them past first cuts, but actually keeping them all four for day one. It's like, oh, but then they don't have a veteran backup. The hell do I need a veteran backup for? This team's not going to go out and win a Super Bowl. I'm not going, well, I mean, if Joe goes down, how am I going to keep this thing on the tracks? I'm thinking, if Joe goes down, it's time for a rookie. Like, it's already off the tracks. And honestly, when Joe's here, it's still kind of already off the tracks. It's not like you got a star quarterback sitting there. No, you shouldn't be bringing four guys into week one. I know that Andrew Berry sits there and will tell you it's something they seriously consider, and it's definitely on the table, and it's a possibility. If you go into week one with Kenny Pickett as your backup quarterback, I got a lot of questions. Like, I don't even know how you're splitting up practice reps at that point to actually give the proper development to your rookies, who, by the way, are going to need to see more game-like scenarios throughout the week to actually continue to get ready, not just, oh, Shador, there's a net over there. You go throw for the next 30 minutes, and then we'll call you in to do something over here. Dylan, hey, you go throw over. Hey, Johnny's over there filling up the water bottles. Tell him you need him to go use a pair of hands as you can throw the ball back and forth to him. It's not helpful in any scenario. Four quarterbacks, far too many in the regular season. You want to bring it past initial cuts? That's fine. See if you can get a trade offer. If not, probably be cutting one of those guys loose, and it'd probably be Kenny Pickett. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back, we'll get to our Browns daily quarterback rankings as well. Does it really still feel like there's a conversation between Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders? Yeah, 216-474-0092. It's coming your way at 8 o'clock right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.